If you would look or find the passage in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, let me read it to you. It says, Paul says that my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge that you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you see all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. Had an early service. We had a sunrise service, a good crowd. Thank you for being with us today. I can preach about the resurrection and just give you the news about it. It's good news, but I can just give you the news about what happened and all that took place. Since I gave my life to Christ as a young man, I want to know how it works today. I just don't want to know something. I want to know how does it apply to me now in 2024? How do I work this into my life and into my faith life? And so many times as a pastor, I'll say it in a prayer or I'll mention it in a sermon, that the power that saves us, that raised him from the dead, is the power that saves us. The power that raised him from the dead is the power that holds us all together. And the power that raised him from the dead is the power that gives us life. And it is the power that will lead us through. I say that a lot because I want you to know that that resurrection power was just not for that moment in time. It is meant for me and you to live our life in that power. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. The cross and the resurrection are central to our faith. Paul writes many times, if he wasn't raised from the dead, you and I have wasted our time. You're wasting your time here today. I've wasted 38 years in the ministry. If he's not raised from the dead, it's vain. It has no value whatsoever. But the truth is that he has been raised from the dead. So I begin by telling you, the power that raised him is the power that saves us. And I want to show you where we get that in Scripture. Look at Romans 10, 9 through 13 for just a moment. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and then one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the Scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. You're never going to regret that, okay? Will never be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord of all is rich to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's go back to verse 9 that we started with. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, ye will be saved. Paul is saying here that in your confession, he doesn't ask you, do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, which he was, but he doesn't include that. We just had Palm Sunday last Sunday, where he came in like a king. He came in riding on a donkey, which is a kingly procession in the Old Testament. And it was prophesied that he was. But it doesn't have in here that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey. He doesn't include that. He doesn't include, you must put in there that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He doesn't include that. The things that he includes in you surrendering your life is, number one, your mouth confesses that he is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The reason he says that is because the power that saves us is the power that raised him up from the dead. It says the word confess there at the very beginning. It's a word that means agreement. that we are speaking the same word as he is. I want you to notice something that you may not really notice. The mouth and the heart are in sync here. Your mouth is saying that Jesus is Lord, and your heart is believing that he's raised from the dead. To call Jesus Lord, there must be a connection that he's been raised from the dead. He is acknowledged as a resurrected Christ. Let's just get down to today. Do you know that your heart and your mouth are always in sync? Scripture says that our heart can be devious. And you're going to find out, if you haven't already, whatever's in your heart, guess what it's going to come out of? It's going to come out your mouth. Man, if you are just somebody that just a critical, your critical things come out of your mouth all the time, you've got a critical heart. If you live a life where even your words are about your greed and selfishness, then you've got a greedy and a selfish heart. The reason that the mouth and the heart here, and you'll just overlook this if you're not careful, because I want to get down into how this works in my faith, my daily faith. If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the resurrection of Christ, then your mouth is going to project that he is Lord of you. It all goes together. It works in sync all together. Do you even know the prayer? Lord, let the meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer, right? So, because the heart and the mouth are connected. So if you're going to call him Lord and confess him as Lord, then you're going to believe that God has raised him from the dead. And the power that raised him from the dead is the power that saves him. Look at John 5:24 for just a moment. I assure you, anyone who hears my words, the Lord said, and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has been passed from death to life. We've said this a lot. This is part of our mantra, our teaching here at Hope Church, is we don't want people to come to Christ because they're bad and then he'll make them good. That's not what happens. When you come to Christ, you've gone from death to life. We've crossed over from death to life. There are a lot of people biologically living, lungs breathing, brain functioning, skeleton and muscles are working all together, but they're living dead. There's nothing there. Nothing there. And some of these people will prosper in the world. And you're going, well, man, they have life. Without Christ, you only have biological life. With Christ, you have Zoe life, which is abundant life and a picture of eternal life. So you've got to see and understand we've passed from death to life when we come to Christ. When we come to Christ, it's a picture of resurrection power. So salvation is really a part of resurrection. A man that I read named Leon Morris, he said, salvation is not something that takes place apart from resurrection. When he saves us, he redeems our very lives and he resurrects our lives. I often say that resurrection power sustains us. And I say that it helps us get through. Look at Colossians 1, 17 and 18. This is where we get such statements that the resurrection power of Christ sustains us. He is before all things, meaning Jesus, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. He's first place in everything. Guys, listen. Jesus is not your top five. He's not your top two. He's not the final four in spirit of the NCAA tournament. He's either first, you want to finish it for me, church, or he's nothing. He's preeminent. Julie, my wife, and I did a conference a few years ago in New Mexico, a marital conference. and some other people were leading it. Greg and Pam Farrell were actually leading the conference. And we were a part of that, and we had a breakout session, and we had people from all over the United States. So the breakout session that we taught was called I've Got to Love Jesus More Than I Love Julie. And for those who don't know, Julie is my wife. So that was the name of the breakout conference. And I have taught that to you all in marital counseling. I love Jesus first. And if I love Jesus first, Julie benefits from that. She thrives from that. If she loves Jesus more than she loves Jeff, then I thrive from that. If I love Jesus more than I love you, you're going to benefit from that. He's first place in everything. And it's said in this verse that he holds everything together. Well, he now is a resurrected Savior. So it is a resurrected Savior that holds everything together. You may look at people who are Christians, if you're not here today, you're here and you're not a believer, and you may think, well, they're weak individuals. When something happens, they run to Jesus. That's where I'm going to run. Simon Peter, who was probably the manliest of all the disciples, always had a disease called mouth-to-foot-itis. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. But there are times he said some really great things. And one time the disciples, not the 12, but others, left. Jesus was teaching and they said, this is too difficult, and they left. And Jesus looks at the 12 and says, are you going to leave me too? And Simon Peter responds, this is one of the days he was getting it right. He said, where else are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of life. Well, when this world gets too much, where do we run? We run to the Lord. Look, the resurrection power of Christ is not just meant to raise him from the dead. It's to help me get through things. Like 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 14. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, which means the Lord in our flesh. Clay jars are us. So that this extraordinary power, what kind of power? Resurrection power, may be from God and not from us. See if you find yourself in any of these verses. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus, resurrected life of Jesus, may also be revealed in and through our body. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life, resurrected life, may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but guess what? Life is in you. What kind of life? That resurrected life of Christ. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. It's all of that is about the power that raised Jesus is the power that gets us through. Let's go down a few verses. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. I really, as a pastor and a preacher, want you to see that in 2024, no matter what we're going through, our deepest, darkest days of our life, that the resurrection power of God is there for me and you to make it through those difficult times. Let's look at 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not give up. Don't give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. I certainly get the front part of that. The older part is being destroyed, don't we? Right? I mean, I'm looking at houses with no steps. You know what I'm saying? For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolute incomparable eternal weight of glory. Leave that there, Logan. He says that our afflictions compared to glory are light. You see that? And that the glory that we will get in eternity far outweighs any light affliction we go through because of what it, the resurrection power of God and what it's able to do with us. Look at verse 18. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen becomes eternal. The resurrection power of God sustains us and gets us through. Look at Philippians 4:13. You all know this. People put it on helmets. They tattoo it on their body. They've got it written in all kinds of places. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. What kind of strength? It's resurrection power. Guys, this verse is not about getting one more rep in the gym. It's not about being able to run one more bleacher lap. It's not about just having one more hour in the day to make it. That's not what this verse means. This verse means that I am strengthened by the power of a resurrected Christ. So his resurrection is more than just me and you willing it. His resurrection power holds us up and absolutely leads us through. And as believers, where do we run? We run to him. I often tell you that resurrection power brings life. I want you to look at John 11, 25 and 26. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today, a lot. And I know it, but I want you to see it. I want you to see and feel the word of the Lord. Jesus said to her, this is Lazarus' sister. This is before he raises Lazarus from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this? And then later on, he raises Lazarus from the dead. I love the next story in scripture that I'm going to give you because it's just crazy. I like the crazy parts of scripture, really, because it makes me dig a little deeper. Some of parts of scripture, when you and I read it, we just run through it. But man, I love this story right here. It's in Matthew 27, 50 through 54. And it's about his crucifixion. Remember, last Sunday, he came into Jerusalem. Monday and Tuesday, he did ministry and teaching. Wednesday, he rested. Thursday, he had the Last Supper with his disciples. Friday, he was crucified and buried. Yesterday, he was in the tomb. It's called Silent Saturday. And then today, we announce his resurrection from the dead. So he's dying on the cross here, okay? It said, Jesus shouted again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Verse 52. The tombs also were opened and many bodies of the saints who had gone to their rest were raised. Verse 53. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, this man really was God's son. And leave that verse there, if you will, Logan. You got the picture. Jesus is dying on the cross. Creation that he made, creation responded to his death. Earthquakes, no big deal. But where the earthquakes were taking place was also a cemetery. And people had their grave or their tomb was back in rock that had been hewn out. And so when the rocks were split open, the graves are opened up. And I love what it says here. Those who guarding him saw the earthquake and they're going, okay, I've seen an earthquake before. But look how Matthew says what they said. And they saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, which is a reference to the other graves were opened up. And then after Jesus was raised from the dead, then they went back home. They went back into the city to show themselves. Can you imagine? I mean, just stop and think. You know, can you see somebody coming back and you're going, I was just at your funeral? And you're back in the city? And then here they really believe that he is the Son of God by watching this take place. Well, all this happening is a foreshadowing of his future resurrection. But here's what I want you to hear. When he died on the cross, it still meant life. To the point that when he died, the earthquakes opened up the tombs. And then as those tombs were opened up, it's pointing to a future tomb that is going to open up. You see, death is an enemy to us. But death is a defeated enemy to us. When I was growing up as a kid, one of the greatest fears I had was not just me dying. It was my parents dying. I remember when I could hear my dad snore, and I know it was annoying to my mom, but when you're got your eyes wide open and you're looking at the ceiling at best you can, you know, and I heard my daddy snore, that was a sweet sound, you know, because as a child, you think about death, and you may as an adult. I just know that something, me personally, it may not fit you, that I have feared the most, that my Lord conquered the greatest. Death is an enemy, but death is a defeated enemy. I love what Warren Wiersbe wrote a long time ago that I read, and I give him props because this comes from him. He said, our biggest problem with Christianity is that we think we're working for victory. You know, be faithful to the church and you're going to have victory. Be faithful to Jesus and you're going to have victory. Everything's for victory in the future. And he said, we're missing it. We don't work for victory, we work from victory. We already have victory. So we don't work toward it, hoping that it's going to happen. We live from it. And that victory is the resurrection of the Lord. Today, in 2024, that power that raised him is meant to save you and sustain you and bring you life and to lead you through. Look at Philippians 3:21. One day we too shall be raised. No matter how you have been interred, it doesn't matter. It said, he will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself because of who he is. 1 Peter 1:3, you know this. We sing this song a lot. In 1 Peter, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a birth into a living hope, a hope that is alive, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Leon Morse continued to write, the resurrection is ongoing. It's not only affecting me now, but it's going to affect me in the future. Guys, listen, I bought our graves in Campbellsville at Brookside Cemetery a number of years ago. And I think I even showed it to you. I stood on our graves and I took a picture. Campbellsville's home to me. You know, Julie and I love Campbellsville. I have a statement that says all good things come from or through Campbellsville. So I stood on our grave and I bought our graves next to the biggest monument there, the Buchanan's, and I know that we know the family well. And the reason I bought that tombstone, one of the tallest tombstones in the cemetery, is so that my kids could see that and know where to find our graves. We use that as a landmark. So if they can find the Buchanan tombstone, they'll be able to find mom and dad's right there. And I stood there and I picked it. I hand-picked that gravesite. I know you think I'm nuts, and that's fine. I don't care. But I picked that. And I look up, and there's the high school that Julie went to my right, Campbellsville. There's Campbellsville University, where we met, went to school, I played ball. There is Campbellsville Baptist Church, where the steeple is, where she grew up. We were married. I was licensed and ordained in the ministry there. And I said, when I come out of this grave one day, this is what I'm going to be able to see. Now, I just want you to know, you're going to think, well, man, Jeff, I love your energy, whatever you want to say with that, but I'm like a little kid. And the Bible says to have faith like a little child. I don't know how you get it, but I think the resurrection is going to be a hoot. Do you know what I'm saying? The fact that my body, my soul will already be with the Lord, but there's going to be a day when this old body, and many of you all say you want a new body. I say this at every funeral that I do. You want a new body? Well, in faith in Christ, you hang on, you're going to get it, okay? And it's a glorified body. And it's going to be a body that is like Christ's body. You see, here's what I love about the Lord. He never quits. He's always, whatever he starts, he finishes. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18. Look at these verses. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's that resurrection power again, right? In the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up in the air with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And he says, encourage one another with these words. We know the truth of it is his resurrection power back then that raised him from the dead is saving me. My heart believes that he's raised from the dead. Then my mouth says that he is Lord. That power helps us get through. When Tom died at age 31, it was one of the darkest times of our family. Cancer and his death literally changed the entire dynamic of our family, as it has with many of you. And it was deep and it's dark. Susie, who was our church administrator now, since retired, Amy is that now. Susie called Dudley Sharrock and said, I think we're losing Jeff. I think we're losing Jeff. It was tough. But where do we run? Where do we run when the world gives us our darkest moments of our life? What got us through, not I'm a preacher, what got us through was the resurrection power of God was reaching down into the souls of our life and giving us power we didn't have, giving us truth we weren't looking for. That's what happens. He sustains us. And he gets us through those moments. It has renewed me. Some of you have said your preaching's different. It is. Amen. It's a desperation more than it ever has been before in my life. Somebody said, when are you going to retire? I said, I'll never hush. He's called me to preach so that you know that the life you seek can be found in the Lord. The resurrection power of our Lord holds us together when nothing else will. It brings me life, renewed life. And not only that, I have it now. I have that resurrection power forever. I want to close with this, Romans 1:16. This is a verse we refer to as the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power. What kind of power? Resurrection power of the gospel for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20, talking about the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What kind of power? Resurrection power. It's what we live on. Listen, if you get to believing that the resurrection just happened in the past, and it stayed there, then I'm gonna do what my teacher used to do. I'm gonna put a ring on the blackboard and make it a little taller than your nose and make you put your nose in the ring. I want you to hear that the resurrection power of Christ was not meant for just that moment in time. It was, but it was meant for the now, and it was meant for the future. The resurrection power of God saves us, death to life, sustains us, holds us together in our darkest moments, brings us life, and then it will lead us through. And he has the power to do all of this in your life. He is risen, and he is risen indeed, and he is risen to bring us life and to lead us through. Here's the invitation today. I want you to trust him. He's alive and well. He's a resurrected king. And today, I want you to trust him. I know that I have been trusting him for the majority of my life, and he has never put me to shame. So will you trust him today? Put your faith and trust in him. Counselors are going to be in the altar. You want to come, be prayed with, be prayed over, whatever you need to do. You want to come and make your surrender to Christ today, you come. And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your spot? The team's going to lead us, and you come.